Hey fans, Matt and Jason here from Raising Anchor, going through a Q&A mailbag session for your most important questions from this last week's episode. Jason, we'll start with you. Dribble Trips writes in, what do you think will be the most important thing for RAFC to do during this long away stretch at the start of the season?
I think we've hammered this one home a lot of times, and Coach loves to bring this up all the time. But I think it'll be very important to really just take one game at a time. It's that kind of thing where if you look at a large task and you try and look at the big picture, it can be daunting. But if you break that up into a bunch of little tasks, it seems a lot easier. And you say, okay, well, I could do this one in this amount of time and then do this one and just break it down into one game at a time.
Step one, get to Providence TF Green on time to make my Breeze flight. Baby steps.
Yeah, I think if they just look at it as, you know, it's just one game at a time, you would have to play this away game some other point in the season. You also have a light at the end of the tunnel there to look forward to in terms of a, you know, brand new grand opening at a, you know, beautiful new stadium. I think it still will be tough, but I don't think it's impossible for them to come away with, you know, a few wins and a draw or two and maybe like one loss, like, you know, a decent kind of mid-tier record there. And then next one we got here is from Adrian. Any chance for the opening game to be later than 4 p.m.?
Not a chance. One, it's because it's still at the tail end of the, you know, winter / spring era. I don't know if you guys remember this, but we got a blizzard on that date this time, you know, in 2024, 2023. So we could still have snow as late as May 3rd. So no, this will be a 4 p.m. game. It's still not, I think it gets dark still kind of early, not like terribly early, but this will be a 4 p.m. game for all intent and purposes. So sorry if you have other plans that conflict. Tell your loved ones, tell your friends that like they can't get married, they can't have children, there's no birthday parties.
Isn't there a park across the street they could have the party at or something?
I mean, just have it at Tidewater and then you'll be good to go. Matt Jean writes in, what is something that the two of you are excited to see at Tidewater?
Oh, interesting. I like something specific outside of RFC playing.
Ed Sheeran singing the national anthem for the home opener?
I mean, I like there are some things I'm curious about. When we go to stadiums, right, we like to walk around the stadium, kind of see what the different options are in terms of what the view is, what all. I mean, at this point, it'll be the stadium we regularly go to, but you'll do that kind of scoping out, well, like what options they have for concessions and all the different corners. Sometimes some have like those cool secret ones that are hidden in the corner that no one knows about. Just to kind of like drink it all in and be like, this is RFC state, like this is our home stadium.
I'll be excited to see the locker room. You know, typically as media and as press, eventually we'll get access to that. And I'd kind of like to see where, you know, the magic starts, where the players get ready and prepared for the battle ahead. Like that's just always a part that, like, especially like fans don't always get to have access or understand and see. So that'll be one. And then kind of just like whatever they do on game day, like how do they make the experience great outside of the stands, right? Like around the area, what extras do, you know, the pizzazz do they put on the stadium flair? So that'll be exciting. And then of course I'm pumped to see the banner go up for Eastern Conference Final Champions in 2024. You know, I just want to see that get, you know, put up there and then just get to kind of revel in it, that's what we accomplished in year one.
Justin here wants to know, when will the stadium get its naming rights sponsor?
So from what we've learned is that this is not going to be a fast process. You know, the club gets one shot to do this right. And so I know that there's a lot of pressures that say like, oh, we have to have the name on the side of the building before game one. And maybe that will happen. I don't pretend to know or have any insider track on it. I know that there is a third-party consultation group that's evaluating sponsor potentials, and there's probably back-and-forth negotiations. I would not be surprised if there are potentially at this point 1 to 5 suitors and kind of like a finalist race, so to speak. But it's got to make sense, right? It's not just the money, which will probably be a very large amount, but it's also the branding, right? Like, does this, you know, in this age of companies,
globalization,
yeah, like what do you want your brand to be?
I think there's one thing interesting about this that we may have to kind of sacrifice and give up the idea that it's going to be a local company, because we keep talking about this idea of there being 100 events at the stadium, if not more, throughout the year, hosting multiple different sports and, like, you know, a whole gaggle of different entertainment opportunities. So at that point, it's going to have to be a pretty big globally, like, if not globally, at least nationally recognized company, so that when they're broadcasting this on ESPN4 or something, you know, some sort of, you know, monster truck rally, it's going to get those, that recognition.
It's got
to
resonate on ESPN, the Ocho.
You know, as much as we want Autocrat Stadium or something, you know, people aren't going to know what that is.
Yeah, but I think there's a difference between hyper-local and, you know, regionally local, right? So I think, to your point, it has to be big enough that it's a national brand, but it can also have its roots in the community, right? So maybe that's New England proper. Maybe that's the Northeast. Maybe that's the Eastern Seaboard. But it has to be, it probably still has to have its roots. So my guess is that... So. Most likely, don't expect it to be announced before the home opener, and just get comfortable calling it Tidewater until we find out who pays for it. Because, it's like you said, it's 100. They want 100 events a year in there, and they want this probably for 3 to 6 to 10 years, right? They want to secure that money. This will be one of the things that helps really finance a lot of the next steps when it comes to the evolution of the entertainment capital that they're trying to build. So this isn't something you don't want them to rush this, right? You want them to take their time, make the best possible decision with all of the data that they need, and then move forward from there. So James writes in, with many more midweek and short week games on the schedule this year, how do you think Coach will manage the lineups for each of those matches? Learning from last year, he simply can't just rest the usual starters and hope to proceed.
I think that's fair to be concerned about that. I think if we look back at the beginning of last year, right, the team really struggled. And we actually did see a lot of rotation because Coach kind of hadn't figured out what his best 11 were. I think it'd be different this year because we'll go in to the start of the season with him having a better idea of who his starters are. So that gives him a little bit more flexibility in terms of being able to maybe pick and choose little pieces to rotate, as instead of large swaths of the team. So he can say, okay, I'll kind of go throughout the team, cycle people out here and there, where I can still field a comfortable competitive lineup, but also make sure that some of the guys on the fringe are still getting some minutes. As we go later into the season, he'll definitely probably get to where we got the end of last year, where you'll have that lockdown of, like, all right, there's really only like 3 or 4 subs that I actually am going to use. Or, I mean, hey, maybe everyone is going to, like, be really good and push for that. But at least he'll know that, I imagine, considering we kept a good amount of the team together, there is an 11 out there that he is comfortable and confident in to put out on the field. It'll just be up to the other guys on the bench to really have that hunger to push and fight for success, to be like, hey, Coach, notice me.
Yeah, I mean, remember, Joe Brito was a starter for this club at the earliest kind of outset of the first year. And that's not to diminish that he isn't capable of reclaiming that. It's all about how you show up in your practice sessions and how you show up ahead of game day. I think, to your point, you know, what we don't want to see is players getting token minutes where, you know, oh, here's an Open Cup match, or here's a Jägermeister Cup match where we know that you feel owed because you're a part of this team, but, you know, we haven't seen the moments where we want you to start. We're just doing this to give our players rest. I think we're going to see a change in the evolution of that, right? I think that there will be players now who have been forced out of their starting rotation. I mean, we still don't have an answer for the 3 strikers that we have up front, with one of them probably most likely needing to be on the bench, as well as some of the midfield depth and rotation, especially when other injured players like Isaac Inking return. Like, there is going to be a real battle for starting minutes, and that's good as long as the players mentally understand that, like, this is how the game works, and that they get respected in getting the opportunities back. Because if it's just like, hey, you lost your spot, we'll try to plug you into a game that doesn't matter later, you know, there's probably a reason some of these players left, you know, the club at the end of the season, because they weren't players getting enough minutes, whether they earned them or not. You want to see all these players fight for every single second they have, and not just assume that they're lock-on starters.
Exactly. And Anon here wants to know, have you guys seen the press box in the new stadium yet? What do you think of it? And will you be sitting there or getting your own seats?
So that question was written by Mike. I just forgot to add his name in there. Sorry, Mike.
It's not the famous anonymous, the
hackers?
It's
not anonymous, no.
Oh, man. I thought we had some new fans.
So we do have, we are going to go see the press box in February. So it is February. So we'll be seeing it in a few weeks. Just to kind of go up there and kind of see the lay of the land. Still don't know yet on the situation of that. I assume we'll get credentialed and all of that jazz. But as of right now, you know, it's unclear. But we haven't seen it. We've been around the stadium on the outside. So excited for our sneak behind the scenes, so to speak. And then as far as getting our own seats, we do have two seats. So we have always been season ticket members, contrary to the opinion. So we do have two additional seats that will most likely rotate and give you know, ticket donations away for. So we've got a front row pair of seats, and I think it's section 209. It's where the I is. We're in the R. We're in section R, front row. So we've got two seats there that we'll be able to give away. I think they're great seats. So if we don't end up getting press credentials or anything like that, then yeah, we'll be using those seats and hanging banners of displeasure over the front railing until we get our press credentials back. So Tim writes in, by the way, is there a Rhode Island food or drink staple that must be sold in the stadium?
I mean, personally, I would love to be able to walk in there and, you know, order some gagas and some coffee milk. But I don't know. What are you thinking?
So I want that. But I want that in the sense of after the game, you know, when, like, they want to shush you out of the stadium. You know, I want the hot dog cart kind of experience. Okay. But like, as long as the food court can face out so that I can get them from like a window on the outside, like, sign me up. Give me a coffee milk, give me three all the way. And like, because that was the tradition last year coming out of Bryant Stadium, we'd go to Oneyville. So I'd love to continue that and just talk to people outside after the game. In terms of what I would like to see in the stadium, though, there does need to be a truly authentic RI presence there. Gaggers is a good one. You got to get like, you got to get chowder or like clam cakes or like doughboys. The, like, all the fried food flair, like, they could do one kind of shack and just call it, like, Doom Brothers could come in and be like, basically, we're going to make everything for you. The only ones that I'm not quite sure on is, someone floated in the Discord, like, the Dynamites, which is basically a sloppy Joe. I don't, that's not good. That is not good stadium food, guys. You do not, guys and gals, you do not want a Dynamite in your hands dripping all over your, you know, your very expensive soccer merchandise. So I don't know how I feel about that. And then the other one would be pizza strips. I think for the gag of it, it would be funny.
Just for all the away traveling USL fans being like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, so that could be funny. I've still, and you know, if the club ever like listens to this particular part, you need to do a Hot Ones episode where you just bring in each player and just sit them down without talking to them or preparing them and just give them pizza strips and then ask them a question or two and then let them just like naturally go, what am I eating? Like, this isn't, like, I'd be very curious since very few of them are not from around here, how they feel about, that could be one of the highest watched videos internally within the state of Rhode Island and then abroad. So like, there you go. There's a gift. If you don't want to do it, just get me to a practice. I'll set up a table, put a camera on it, and just record their reactions.
Oh, that'd be great. It's just the same dark room. There's just a table of pizza strips, and they're like, are these all the same? Like, what is going on here?
So yeah, so but anyways, so those are the questions. We'll hopefully get to do these kind of mailbag Q&As a lot more often and then decompartmentalize them from our hour and 45,000 minute regular podcasts. Until then, Jason anchors up, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Anchors up. See you guys later.